I just wanted to start off by saying last week, right after service, Pastor John approached me and asked me if I'd be willing to speak today, and I said, sure. And I went home, and I told my wife, I'll be honest with you guys, I'm always honest with you guys, the flesh was rising up. I says, you know, Pastor Don always gives me 2 weeks. Pastor John gave me 6.5 days. And my wife, you know, put me in my place real quick, and she said, well, you know, it's not you, it's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God can move at any moment, you know. So, of course, that shut me up, put me back in my place, and I got to business. So, anyways, I was praying, and the Lord revealed to me, back when we went to the Band of Brothers, I think it was the first year I went back in 09, Pastor Gary Paladin, that's the guy that took over the church from Keith Tusey, he preached one of the classes about being raised, R-A-Z-E, to cause havoc in hell. And that kind of just hit me, you know. And I was remembering, it was about a year ago, Raquel was going through a rough time. She called me. She was crying. She was just getting beat up by the devil. And the Lord put it upon my heart to let her borrow that CD. And after she listened to it a couple times and it really ministered to her, she came back to me and she thanked me. And she's just took off ever since. So I just really felt led to put this out here this morning. The title of my message is called Kingdom Fighters Called to Raise Hell, R-A-Z-E. So I looked up that word, and ironically, when I shared it with Pastor John, he knew what that word was. I was like, wow, he's smart, because I didn't know what it meant. I didn't really know what it meant, you know, and he almost quoted it right out of the dictionary. It says, well, we know it's a verb, right? And verbs are what? Action, all right. English students. The word raise is an action, and I looked up the definition, and it says to subvert from the foundation, to overthrow, to destroy, to demolish, to erase, to efface, to obliterate. So that's what we're called to do. We're called to go to the kingdom of darkness and virtually, R-A-Z-E, raise hell in that kingdom. Amen? So I got to share this too. My future son-in-law, we had his bachelor party yesterday, and we went downtown, and we went to this barbecue place, and man, the food was just great. You know, I had ribs and stuff. And then I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. I mean, I was drenched in sweat. I mean, it woke me up right out of my sleep, and I was so nauseated. I mean, and for those that are real close, they know that I don't like to throw up. I mean, when I throw up, everything, I mean, my guts and everything come out. I mean, my face, all my blood vessels in my face break. I look like a raccoon because my eyes are all red, you know, from the broken blood vessels. And so I'm just praying in the Spirit. I prayed till like 5 o'clock in the morning straight for the Lord to take that away from me. And I think just out of exhaustion, I passed out. And then, ironically, I had the alarm set for 6:30. I wanted to come to the class, Bob. I had the intentions, brother. But I was so tired, I think I just shut the alarm off. And thank God my wife woke up at 8:30. I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, and we're running around the house, and our bathroom's under construction right now. Fred's redoing my bathroom. I don't even have a sink. So I'm just throwing water on my face. I'm like, oh, I hope I look okay. But anyways, and I took a step back, and I thought, you know what? I'm being attacked. I'm being attacked by the devil. He does not want me to bring forth this message. You know, so it just really gave me that gung-ho spirit to even fight even stronger. So my wife prayed for me, and as soon as I got here, I got my brothers. I said, I need prayer, brother, because I'm under attack. And they were like, Raquel was like, well, what did you expect? You're right, sister. You know, when we're on the front line, We're going to receive some as we give out. So we got to be prepared for that. So, of course, the Lord put this on my heart right now in Ephesians 6, talking about the armor of God. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's where we are, church. We have to really believe that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's spiritual. We are in a spiritual battle. I remember when Keith Tusey was here a few years back, he did a men's morning breakfast meeting. And he said, we were created not only to worship God, but to be warriors. Bottom line, that's what we're called to be. Warriors for the kingdom of heaven. You know, yeah, we're supposed to go out and save souls. And, you know, Jesus, go out into all the world, right? Preach to all the nations. But they're not just going to come to us, right? We've got to virtually fight for their souls. Because the devil doesn't want to give them back. Once the devil has a hold of you, he doesn't want to give them back. He's like, no, these are mine. You know? And remember, the devil hates anything and everything that God loves. He hates it. He perverts it. He twists it. He's known as the father of lies. Even his word, he tries to twist that. You know? So anyways, as I was listening to this teaching, it says, God is looking for men and women to be frontline fighters for his kingdom. We were born again, so to speak, to raise hell. He wants us to be on the offensive and to take the fight to the devil. Let me repeat that. We're to take the fight to the devil. He doesn't want us to sit back and wait to be attacked. We need to be on the offensive. That's one thing I liked about Patton, George Patton, that general. He always said, what was his famous line? I don't want to pay for blood for the same land I took once. He never believed in retreat. He was always on the offensive. That's how God wants us to be. When I think of fighters, it reminds me of boxers. And typically you have two different styles of boxers. You got your brawlers. I think of Mike Tyson. That guy was a brawler. And then you have your counterpunchers. Now let me give you a quick definition. Brawlers, they are usually known as knockout specialists. They are on the offensive, moving forward, waiting to land that powerful punch that will ultimately destroy their opponent and render them a knockout victory. Now, with that straightforward approach, yeah, the brawler is going to take some punishment, right? He's coming through, he's going through your defenses, so he's going to take some blows. The brawler will suffer some blows himself, but they know that they have the power within them to beat the opponent with one punch. And right away I thought of who? David. David. Here was that behemoth giant Goliath, right? Here was David, this little boy. And you know that Goliath thought, are you kidding me? This is an insult. This is like a pit bull going against a chihuahua. Are you serious? You know what I'm saying? But what happened? With one blow, the power of God, boom, dead. One blow. So that's the brawlers. Now you have the counterpunchers. They bob and weave. They move in, they move out. They try to score points on their opponents by their missed punches. They try and counter with their own punch. They jab, they punch back. They're really not looking to lock out their opponent. They're just trying to outscore them and win points by decision. Counterpunchers are known as the thinkers or tacticians of boxing. You know, they don't have that mentality to just go in for the kill. They just want to wear you out, you know, wear you out, dance with you, bob and weave, all that kind of stuff. Now, counterpunchers still win fights, don't get me wrong. It's just not that dramatic. You know, and for most men that still watch boxing, I don't watch it no more. But think about it. Two boxers in the ring dancing, so to speak, toe-to-toe, jab here, jab there. You know, sometimes you would even hear the people in the crowd booing if they weren't really just out there throwing blows left and right. Excuse me. They throw some punches, jabs to the end of the fight, and then the one with the most points wins. Sometimes you even had a split decision. That means the fight was so close they couldn't really, you know what I mean? There was even draws. like they consider it a tie. The brawler is offensive-minded, and the counterpuncher is more defensive-minded. Now, as Christians, we all win, right? We will be in heaven one day, standing before God with our arms raised in victory. I think of Rocky Balboa, you know, remember when he's running? He gets up on the top of that thing, he's dancing around. But the majority of us will win as counterpunchers, not knockout artists. When you think about it, it's kind of sad in a way. Yes, we won, but not decisively, not overwhelmingly. When you consider how much stronger we are than our opponent, I say time and time again, the only power Satan has is what we give him, is what we allow him to have. God doesn't have any doubt who's going to win, right? We already know he's won the war. He just wants us to fight the battles. We have the power to destroy the devil. You have to believe that. You have to believe that. In 1 John 4:4, it says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world." Amen? God, that's power. That's power. He's telling you right there. With the Holy Spirit within you, you're greater than anything in the world. Instead, we choose to be counterpunchers. We just want to keep from getting hit. Let me repeat that. We just want to keep from getting hit. Nobody wants to get hit. But when you're a frontline warrior, you're going to take some damage, people. That's why we have armor, to repel the devil, to repel the schemes. We just want to try and outmaneuver the enemy. Well, maybe if I go this way, I'll just stay out of his way. I won't have to suffer that little trial. Right? We are our own worst enemy. We allow fear and doubt to creep in us. Then we treat the devil like he's much stronger than he really is. Because of the fear that we allow within us. I want to show this real quick video. It's only about a minute long. But I just wanted to show you what happens. And I know you guys all know this movie. It's Rocky. Three. At this point, Rocky's the champion. And this is the challenger. Just think of Clubber Lang here as the devil. That's sad. That's sad considering he was the champion, right? The champion usually has all the confidence, right? It's the challenger that's thinking, this guy's the top dog. I got to take this guy out, right? But the roles were reversed here. And what did he say in the corner? I can't keep him off. I'm losing it. Isn't that what happens to us sometimes when we're going through these battles? As soon as something doesn't go our way, or as soon as we look through these eyes, right? I can't do it. I'm losing it. Honey, I'm losing it. I can't pray anymore. Honey, I'm losing it. We can't pay the bills. Right? I mean, think of that as in real life terms here. I'm losing it. I'm losing it. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And in my study notes, I love this. It says, "The imagery suggests an athletic contest in a great amphitheater. The witnesses are the heroes of the past. They are not spectators, but inspiring examples. In other words, they've been there and done that. They bear testimony to the power of faith and to God's faithfulness. Man, that just... whew. And I wrote down this little vision I got here. I said, I can just envision the fight going on and the saints yelling out, "Come on! Come on, Raquel! Come on, Ray! Come on, Pastor Don! Quit bobbing and weaving! Quit dancing with this guy! Just knock him out!" Because they know we have the authority to do that. Why do we clown with this guy? Why do we clown with this guy? Why do we allow him to inflict punishment in us? To inflict doubt? To inflict fear? In order to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness, a hell raiser, we need to have an offensive mindset. Not that having a strong defense is stupid. In Ephesians 6:16, it says, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the devil." Of the, you know what I mean? The armor of God, the shield of faith is what protects us. It protects us. Smart boxers are always going to try and protect themselves. Don't get me wrong. Even the brawler with that straightforward mindset knows that he's going to get hit. But he also knows that he is so much stronger than his adversary that he will not get hurt. That's the difference. With Christ in us, with our faith, we can take a blow. Don't let the devil lie to you. You can take a blow. If we get knocked down, that's what we're all here for. We're the spectators in the crowd to say, "Get up! Get up! Get back on your feet! Get back in there!" The brawler is no fool by any means and takes full advantage of the tools that the Lord provides. My brothers and sisters, my shield of faith, my helmet of salvation, those are my protection. My breastplate of righteousness. Even though I may sin, I'm righteous in the Lord. He died for me. He'll cleanse me. If I'm struggling, I can reach out to my brothers and my sisters to get me over that hurdle. You need more than just a good defense to win consistently. You need an offensive mindset. As Christians, we shouldn't be just squeaking by. We need to be winning decisive battles. I just saw that video right now of Anthony. My man's all by himself. All by himself. But you know what? He has the authority of Jesus Christ with him. The authority of Jesus Christ with him. Now, he's not standing on a preach corner where the police can mug him. But thank God for that wisdom. I think that's a sweet move. He's on the go, still ministering. I love it, man. I love it. That was smart. I like that. Praise God. We don't need to be just squeaking by. We need to be winning decisively. In Isaiah 54, 17a, it says, "No weapon," let me repeat that, "no weapon forged against you will prevail." No weapon. Nothing the devil has. Lies, sickness, money, none of those things will prevail against us. This means that the devil has no knockout punch. I mean, there we see poor Rocky got knocked out. But he wasn't himself. That wasn't the true Rocky. If you watched all the Rocky movies, that wasn't the true Rocky. His mind wasn't in the game. Actually, that clip didn't show, but when they first meet before they fight, you could see he was out of it. He was like, you know, he just wasn't in it. And sometimes we go into battles and we're not prepared, we're not in it, we're going to get knocked out. Oh, I forgot my shield of faith. Oh, I didn't bring my gloves to the fight. I left my sword at home. In Luke 10, 18 and 19, Jesus said, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Man already got his butt kicked. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all power of the enemy. To overcome all power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. This was Jesus speaking. Jesus sent the disciples out. This was an offensive mindset. Anthony. Taking the fight to the devil. We are to take the fight to the enemy. Matthew 28, 18 to 19a, it says, Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And what does that mean? Well, in John 16, 15, it says, All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So all that authority Jesus got from heaven, from his Father, he gave to us. Church, we have the same authority and power that Jesus had walking on this earth. And what did he say? Greater things will you do than I. If we have the faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed. So when we go into these battles, we got to be prepared, church. We got to be prepared. That's why prayer is so important. We are to go back and take what the devil has stolen. Family, friends, co-workers. Yes, even the unknowns. Even the unknowns. God loves them all. We can't take a defensive strategy and wait for them to come to us. We were born again to plunder hell, to populate heaven. Let me repeat that. We were born again to plunder hell, to populate heaven. Plunder means to destroy and strip of its possessions, to take the goods by force. This is, again, an offensive action. And here's the ironic thing that I really liked about that teaching. It said, God isn't looking for good fighters. He's looking for dangerous fighters. Go ahead, Sarah. One more video. He's looking for dangerous fighters. Are you sleeping up there? Oh, I know. You were taking notes. Now, we've seen that first fight, right? This was the rematch. That's the way we're called into action right there. Yeah, he took some blows, but he kept coming forward. So we ask ourselves, how can we become dangerous fighters instead of just good fighters? How can we become brawlers instead of counterpunchers? Pastor Don knows this. Practice, practice, practice. You know all about practice, don't you, Edward? Love those doubles, didn't you? Well, I used to hate that. Well, he'd come home miserable working all them doubles when he was in football. 90-something degrees out there, full pads. How many hours? 8 hours. But it taught him endurance. You know, Melvindale was always a small school. I remember one Wyandotte came up here to scrimmage us. 4 buses. They looked like an army. I'm like, are you kidding me? They even brought their cheerleaders. I'm like, dang, are they going to suit up too? We had what, 24, 27 guys? They had like 90. And the thing of that was, Pastor Don, correct me if I'm wrong, is they had to play both ways. Where these bigger schools like Wyandotte, and I'm not picking on Wyandotte, I'm just saying. You know, Wyandotte had one squad for offense, one squad for defense, one squad for special teams. Did you get any breaks over there? I didn't think so. You did everything. But that's what God calls us to do. Everything. The way you live out your faith in the ordinary 24 hours, 7 days a week will determine whether you can become dangerous. Remember, you are your worst enemy. And that can be good or that can be bad. But on the good part, you push yourself. We have to practice the fundamentals. Prayer, being in that word. We got to read it. We got to study it. Above all, we got to live it. We walk with God. We talk with God. And also, being accountable. Being accountable to other people and being holy before God. It takes commitment and discipline. If we can't practice and live out these fundamentals, we can't become dangerous fighters, church. And this was something too. Holiness isn't just staying free from sin. It's being obedient to God. God is looking to anoint those who can contain holiness. He doesn't want to give it to you if you're just going to throw it to the wayside. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says this, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." That's who He's looking to give holiness to. David was a man after God's own heart. He sinned like a wild man. But he was so quick to repent. We are committed to God. Are we committed to God? Can we handle the truth? Remember that movie? Can you? I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. That was a great line, man. But it's true. Can we handle the truth? We want the truth, but can we handle it? I'm giving you truth right now. God is looking for hellraisers, not counterpunchers. He is looking for dangerous offensive fighters. And in closing, what does the devil think about your name when it pops up in hell? And you're on the fight card? Think about that. Does he tremble and worry? Does he have to call for reinforcements? Uh-oh. Angels on the fight card tonight. We're going to have to get some reinforcements. Or does he consider you a non-threat? Oh, so-and-so is going through a whole heck of a lot. We ain't got to worry about this one. I can handle this one on my own. Be committed. Become a hellraiser and make a difference for the kingdom. Be willing to take some punches, church, to go for that ultimate goal, to knock the devil out. You have the authority given to you by Jesus Christ Himself. We need to become hellraisers. There's too many people out there lost. Time is running short. We can't let the devil win. We can't let the devil win. Remember, he hates, he despises everything that God loves. That means he hates us. But you know what? Jesus' love is stronger and better than any other thing that we can ever imagine. Thank you. Could I have the prayer team come up, please? I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer real quick. Don't forget we have coffee and donuts upstairs. Don't forsake the fellowship. Amen? And let's close. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord, for just using me here today. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here in this church, Lord God. I love each and every one of them, Lord God. Father, your word says that iron sharpens iron, Lord God. And Father, I just thank you for the relationships that I have in this church, that we have together in this church, Father. And Lord, right now, Father, we just pray for your anointing to be upon us this day, Lord, that this day we would be committed, Father God, to being hell raisers for you, Lord God, that we would be dangerous fighters, Lord God, that we would be brawlers, Lord God. Father, that we would go into the enemy's camp and take back what he has stolen, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you for the opportunity, Father, to be warriors for you, Lord God. And Father, we just pray your hedge of protection around us, Father. Your spiritual armor be upon us, Lord, each and every day, Father. And Lord God, I pray that we make a difference in this world, Lord, that when the devil hears our name, that he will tremble, Lord God, that he will tremble to know that a dangerous fighter is on hand, Lord God. And Father, we just love you. We thank you. We ask your blessing upon us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.